Buenos días, good morning. I'm so happy to be with you today. This is my very first service in church since March last year, because in Chile we still are having services online. Yes, I feel strange, you know, having too many people around me. Yeah. But don't worry, I have received 3 doses of my vaccination program. 3, I'm good. And tomorrow we are ready to go back home. My PCR was negative. I can be with you today. please receive greetings from my province of Chile, my diocese of Santiago, the capital city of Chile. As Jordan said, I came for 2 reasons. The main one was the wedding of my daughter, Carola, who lives in Phoenix, Arizona. And we came for that reason. And then when Pablo knew that we are coming to the States, said, please come to Denver and we can baptize Ismael. And we did it this morning in the first service. I feel at home being with you. This is, I think, my 2nd or 3rd time with you. I remember the time before you were worshiping in a school, yeah, in Denver downtown area, and the pastor was Rob. We had a good time together with Rob in those days. He was not sick, yeah, when I met him. I feel at home because we belong to the same family. We belong to the family of God, the family of Christ, but also we belong to the Anglican family around the world. We are so blessed by God because the Anglican Church of Chile has been really blessed by the Lord. What I want to share with you briefly is that we have grown by God's mercy. Yeah. But the history of how many hours I had to preach? Oh, 3 hours? Okay, no, the Chilean way. No, I will be short. And our history, more or less, is first English chaplaincies in the country. Then work among our aboriginals, the name is Mapuche people. That started 1895. Then, after the Lambeth Conference of 1958, one of the resolutions said Latin America is not a Christian continent. And the reason is because they thought that the presence of the Roman Catholic Church, Chile and Latin America, was a Christian continent. But not. My continent, my country, is very pagan, far away from God. For that reason, in that resolution said, we invite people to go to Latin America in order to do mission work. And then the Anglican Church start working in cities early 1960s. If you think the first Anglican Church that was planted in Santiago, the capital city, was in 1969. Quite recently, 1969, the first Anglican church in the capital city. Today we have 20 churches in Santiago. We want to be a mission-minded people. This is normally I'm talking, preaching, always, all the time. Even when we have a meeting, I can say to Jordan, are you mission-minded person or maintenance-minded person? Can't you see? Because in church, it's very easy to get lost. One said that is, will be one of my points today. But it's very easy to get lost because we are in the church, we come to services, but we are not close to God. We are not following His step. Even we are not doing what the Lord commands us to do. For that reason, when I say maintenance, means always the same activities, same people, same kind of preaching, nothing new. But mission means planting churches, doing evangelistic work, go to new communities, always asking questions that are complicated. Even maybe the best question and answer you can have is when you are vestry committee, you say vestry or PCC, vestry, meet. If I read your budget, if I look your budget, I will know from the beginning where your heart is. And I can see, oh, this church is maintenance church, or this church is missionary church. Because you use your budget in order to spread the good news of Jesus. You use your budget in order to reach out new people for Jesus, you know. But when in some churches in my country, some churches are very concentrated on the building, on the activities around themselves, but nothing new. And I challenged them. I said, hey, you have to change your thinking manner in order to be missionary minded, people around mission for God. This is the way we are working in Chile. Today we are a province. During the last 20 years, we grew up in terms of number of churches, number of people. We grew up in stewardship, in discipleship also. We created our own seminary. And now, from one diocese, Chile today have four dioceses. For that reason, we are province. The Archbishop of Canterbury came to Chile 2018 to inaugurate the new province in my country. We used to be member of the province of South America, but today Chile is a province, the province number 40 in the Anglican Communion. This is for the glory of God. I want you to know a little bit in the way that we work, that we are trying to do things. But don't forget, even before every decision, think, this decision will be for mission or for maintenance? And then reflect on that. This is the way we are doing things in my country, always. This decision is for mission or for maintenance? I have a question for you. My meditation today is the grace of God in the family. And of course, this message is concentrated around Ismael's baptism. But we'll try to do some differences with you. Have you ever thought why God calls us and treats us as sheep? And the reason is because we are sheep. And sheep has two main characteristics. One is the sheep suffer of orientation, lack of orientation. That is the reason why we say he is a lost sheep, yeah? Or she is a lost sheep, because he take a different way, you know, in his or her life. But the other characteristic is the sheep is lack of self-protection and defense. Lack of self-protection and defense. Lack of orientation, lack of protection or defense. We are like sheep. It's very easy in life to get lost. It's very easy to go for a different way that we had at the beginning. And for that reason, we have to be close to God as Christian in order not to be lost in the world and not to be lost in the life. Even maybe for you has been some kind of similar experience of the effect of the pandemic situation we are living in the world. I see the pandemic as a big tsunami that came to us, you know, and then came the tsunami. We were shaking, you know, by the virus, the COVID, etc. And then we say, oh, where I am? What's going on now? Yeah, what will be next? You know, In what way will we buy life? Even we are talking. I think you the same. We are talking about the future of the church, and the future of the church is a kind of hybrid services because people are very afraid still coming to service, but also want to come to services, and we don't know in what way the church will work. From now to the future. For that reason, even having received the pandemic in us, the pandemic has affected us all of us. The pandemic has shown the best and the worst of us. The best and the worst of us has appeared. Facing situation of isolation, communication, family, education, health, work, business, everything has been affected by the pandemic. For that reason, I say it's very easy to get lost because of that. But in order to prevent that, to avoid that, I think we have a great concept to reflect, and it's the concept of the grace of God. The grace of God. Even I see the grace of God in the midst of the pandemic situation, because God is here. Even the pandemic will never stop the spread of the good news. We are not allowed, as I said, in Chile, still to have services in the church. But we continue preaching the good news through internet, online. Even we have planted at least 3 new churches online. We are expecting where we will be ready to meet each other and to be together and go there and to meet the people. Say, I met you by Zoom, but now it's good to have a face, that you are a real person. The best way to react against the pandemic effect is to concentrate or to base our life on the grace of God. I think that is the best way to confront the effect of the pandemic. Because, of course, the world will lead us to a different way from God. But if we concentrate our life in the grace of God, everything will change, because we will see the Lord there. We will see the presence of the Lord there. I remember one of the first things that I learned in the Anglican Church in Chile was the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Let me tell you something that I didn't say in the first service. In my country, when you were born, you are Catholic, but normally Catholic. I grew up as a Roman Catholic person, my family, my dad. But even I received my first communion, my confirmation, but when I was 17 years old, the first time I heard that Jesus died for me on the cross was in the Anglican Church, never before. I was 17 years old, and then the pastor of the church told me, I gave my life to Jesus on the resurrection day on 1972. You were not born. You are so young. I was 17 years old. And then the pastor asked me a question. Have you a Bible in your room? And I said, no. Have you read the Bible? No, never. Never. And then he gave me a Bible. The first time, can you imagine that? The first time I heard that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and he died on the cross for me, it was in the Anglican Church, and the first time I take a Bible in my hands was in the Anglican Church. Yeah. For that reason, I love my church. Yeah. I never thought that I will become a bishop of the church. Yeah. I'm a pharmacist by profession. I study pharmacy. I belong to the health public system in my country, but I left everything in order to serve the Lord. 35 years ago, I'm serving the Lord full time. No more pharmacy, just Bible, Bible, and Bible. Beautiful. Even if I born again, I want to be serving the Lord from the beginning, not waiting until 17 years old. From the beginning, serving my Lord. Okay, let's continue. Grace, grace, a beautiful concept. It is, as you know, maybe grace is a gift from God, but is an undeserved gift that comes from the Lord. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. Two main concepts: the love of God and the mercy of God. Both are related to grace. Grace means you can do nothing in order to be loved more by God. Even if you think that you will be loved by God because you have, you go to spiritual retreat, prayers, you make special sacrifices for the Lord, study the Bible more, or classes, seminaries, work in the church. We work in the church. We serve the Lord as a reaction of His love to us, but not because I want to receive more love from God. In the opposite way, it's the same. As I say, grace means that you can do nothing in order to be loved less by God or lose the love of God. Pride, sinful life, living a life far away from the Lord, etc. Don't forget, when you think about the grace of God, you are already loved by God. You can do nothing in order to receive more love or less love, because the love of God is there for us as person, as family, as matrimony, as church and society. We have to enjoy the grace of God and to begin to realize that at the end the Lord always will be there. Even in the pandemic, as I said, the Lord has been with us in the midst of the pandemic, because He is our beloved God and He loves us. And He will love us forever. He will love the church and He will love us forever, because His love is infinite. And His love also is shown through mercies, protections, and His presence among His people. I read in a church, I don't remember where, a sign that said, "The church is not a club of saints. It is a clinic of sinners." I love that expression. The church is not a club of saints. It's a clinic or hospital of sinners. We are sinners. We are here because we have been saved by God, because He had mercy to us. He showed merciful to us. He has been merciful to us. We don't deserve to be here, but because of His love and mercy, we are here today. For that reason, the doors of the church always must be open for people. Because maybe through the years, we think that we are in the church, we are Christian, because we are a better person than others. No, you are a sinner, but you are a sinner that has been saved by God. But at the end, you are a sinner. And you are in the church being restored by God. The Lord is still working in us all, as person, but also as a family. The family today is suffering in many aspects. And according to my opinion, the worst is the effect of postmodernism. Postmodernism is affecting all the values of society, all the values of family, all the traditional values that we grew up, we have, you know, sustained our society, now are shaking, are, you know, under doubt. And this is the effect of postmodernism. For example, this is a kind of idolatry or worship. For example, to the physical image. It's a worship to our bodies. We want to look great, and we think that we will be accepted because we look, according to our opinion, oh, I look nice, and I will be accepted. This is a tricky thing, you know, from postmodernism. Pleasure, a worship to hedonism. We want to live a life of pleasure. We don't want to commit. We don't want to sacrifice in order to serve people. We want to live a comfort life. The other issue is the worship to materialism, possessions. We think that we will be valued because we have money, because we have goods. It's not bad to have money and goods. The issue is when we base our life on that and we think that we will be recognized and valued by people is because I have money or values or goods. For that reason, I want to have more, more, more. Sadly, materialism never stops. Always we want to have more, more, and more. And we work more, more, and more in order to have more. And the other issue of postmodernism is worship to success. I want to be the first. I want to be a successful person. And I work because of that. And even I'm willing to work very hard because I want to be success. I want to succeed in life, but also I want to have more. But at the end, this family is suffering. I see in my country how the family has been affected because of that. Because of that. Both, you know, parents working, that is good, working, working, but they, at some point, they lost the point. They lost where they had to go. And finally, children are isolated at home, and they are working in their own job. This is a crisis in my society. For that reason, when we base our life in the grace of God, the Lord will say, hey, be careful, be careful. You are taking a wrong way. You are starting with some problems in your values. Come back. Come back. And the idea of to come back is to come back to the Bible and what the Bible teaches about the values that we have to have if we are member of the kingdom of God. When we are not conscious about this, sometimes we develop a life of legalism, judgment, punishment, and lack of forgiveness. And the Christian life is the opposite. It's the opposite. We are merciful. We tolerate when somebody is different to us. No life of punishment. We have to learn how to apply forgiveness and how to be merciful to other people. As I said this morning, when Pablo and Heidi decided to baptize Ismael, they are honoring God. They are putting God first. Okay. I will receive this boy as a gift. Now we are going to present and to give this boy to him. That's the concept of grace. We receive a gift from God and then we offer that gift to the Lord. Thinking about the concept of family, Deuteronomy says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The love of the Lord, your God, love the Lord with all, love the Lord your God with all your hearts, with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. This is the New International Version. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down or when you get up. We have been called by God to work in our family, to present our family to the Lord, to invite the Lord to our family and to be in our midst. For that reason, I invite you to, even if you think we are not close enough to God, start doing something. Start doing something in order to allow that the love of God be in your midst at home. Sometimes we have been talking that many members of the church has been many honest to us when we ask, are you praying every day? Are you reading the Bible every day? And many of our people has been very honest saying, no, no. The only time I read the Bible or I hear the Bible and I pray is when I'm going to church on Sunday or when I am connected to the service. But during the week, I'm so busy, that I have no time to read the Bible and to pray. You know, this is now our first reaction will be criticism, punishment. No, you are wrong. You are not a good Christian. And we say, okay. What about if we take a challenge of 2 minutes a day? I want you to pray 2 minutes and then 2 minutes reading a Bible verse. Really? Really? Start. And many of them has taken the challenge. And now when we meet, say, two minutes for reading, 2 minutes for prayer. And some of them say, now I'm 5-5. 5 minutes prayer, 5 minutes reading, 10-10, you know, etc. Start from something. Start even from 1 minute, but try to be close to the Lord. And then you will see the grace of the Lord coming to your life. Summarizing, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, as I said, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. And the grace of the Lord will help us in protection of life because we are weak, we are fragile. The grace of the Lord will be with us when we fail, when we deceive God, when we commit mistake. Because the mercy of the Lord will be with us. And living a life of community, belonging to a church, belonging to a community, being together, the Holy Spirit will be with us, helping us in order to enjoy the grace of the Lord. I want you to receive more grace, to enjoy a life of grace, and you will see how your life will be different through the years. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your love and mercy to us, and thanks for your grace. Help us to be like Jesus day by day. In his name we pray. Amen.